pastors and discuss the sugyanim of Kafes, Akev, Sheshamar from Bakali, that Avram Avinu was Makayim Kolot Torah Kolim Shemitzna, and presumably that was true not only of Avram Avinu, it was true of Yitzhak, it was true of Yaakov, and how is it possible then that Yaakov and Mary Shtei Achayos, and we started to discuss the sugyan chulin daf tzav yalef when it comes to this sort of Gerenasha found in Parshas Vayishlach. There, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Bereishis Mem Gimel and Parshas Miketz. The Torah describes the suga of Yosef together with his brothers. And the pasuk tells us that Tavoach Tevach Vahachem. What exactly is the meaning of that? To ready the basar la'achila. So the Gemara says Tavoach Tevach means that par lahem beis hashchita, demonstrate, show them that yes, that shchita occurred. And v'hachem means the tul giranash shabifneihem, and remove the giranash. So the Gemara says the following chiddush, that already indicates that k'manda amar, that giranash ne'esar v'bnei noach. The fact that was the instruction, to trade with animal, to remove the giranash, so therefore that must be assuming that b'nei noach are chayiv in giranash. B'nei noach could either be a reference to b'nei noach, or at least a reference to b'nei Yaakov. It means that which occurred kodem matan Torah that you find in Parshas Vayishlach. So we started to discuss the difficulty of Tosfos. How do you know that means that the Ben Noach is Nesar in Giranasha? Because the Mishnah, Chulin Daf Kuf, Rashi explains, it's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Nechachamim. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that yes, it's true that Parshas Vayishlach describes this Giranasha that was given in real time, and at that time it was given to B'nai Yaakov. And according to the Chachamim Yisinai Nemra, El Shenichta Binkomo, that was not true. So the Gemara brings a Zaraya, if you interpret the Pasuk in Miketz as V'achem Tol Giranasha, so therefore that must be consistent with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that even B'nai Yaakov, Benoach, is Nesar, Giranasha. So Tosus is immediately bothered that how is this at all a Raya? If the Avos and Bnei Yaakov from Akayim Kolator Kula Kodem Shenitna, so therefore, well, of course, this was their practice, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they were Mitzuva in any shape or form. We pointed out, too, the Diyuk in the Rambam, Peretesef Ochos Malachim, that when it comes to Brismila, there the Rambam writes that Avram Avinu was Mitzuva in Brismila. When it comes to Giranasha, the Rambam uses the term not Mitzuva, but Hosif. That was a Diyuk of Kesa Mishnah, that maybe this is something that they practiced, even though there wasn't an obvious tzivoy. How does the Gemara know to assume that this means that a Ben Noach is Nesar and Giranasha? And Tosfos goes a step further. After all, Tavoach Tevach is Shchita, right? As we discussed last week, no one says that there was a Chiyuv of Shchita at that time. So just like Tavoach Tevach obviously was Betoras Inam Utsuviyosen, the same thing could be true of the Hachem when it comes to Giranasha. So he quoted several possibilities. Now, one possibility in Tosfos was that it's the word, Vahachem. Hachem seems to indicate that this is what makes it ready, mutter v'achila, and otherwise not. If the Pasuk just simply would have said, remove the Giranasha, that could be in a Mitzvah. But if you use a phrase that Vahachem, that sounds like necessary Hachana. Oh, so Tosfos says, it's mashma without that, it would not be fit. Fit and unfit is a question of nesa. It's not a question of eina mitzuva ve'osa. Okay. Tosfos says the second teretz, and Tosfos says the following. Maybe tavoach tevach. What exactly does that mean? Show them, demonstrate that animal is shachut. Does that necessarily mean shchita? Let's assume, for example, it's clear that kodem antor, there's no tzivuya shlita. But there certainly is an isser of eiver menachai. There certainly is an isser of eiver menachai. That's one of the shemitzos b'nei Noach. So you know what? Food is placed before you. How do you know that it wasn't eiver menachai? How do you know that it's mutter b'achila? Eiver menachai obviously was an isser that was given kodem antor. Part of the Shemitzus B'nei Noach. Oh, so show them the Beis HaShchita that the animal was killed and now the meat is being served. As opposed to the possibility that this was taken from the animal while the animal is alive, and then it would be nesach. Those are Tosfos's 2 days. No? What exactly does it mean, tavach? Tevach, maybe just simply, again, it's the wording of the Gemara, the Hachain. But the second possibility is, you know what, even tavach tevach is the Torah's mitzuva v'yosa, not ena mitzuva v'yosa. Because it's a reference to nechira, just making sure that the meat was taken from an animal that is no longer alive, because otherwise it would be an isra of gerenash. Good, those are Tosfos' 2 truths. Last week we spent time discussing the teretz of the Maral, Gerarie, versus Vayishlach, Memvav Yud, that even if that was from a kan kolotara kula kodam shnitna, a fundamental difference between a mitzvah sasei as opposed to in a silos sasei, the essay being avas Hashem, los essay being the Yiras Hashem, Davos look for every opportunity to embrace the Midas Ahava, and therefore isn't there a fundamental difference between Shita as opposed to Giranasha? Giranasha is allowed. How do you know there's any Mitzvah Yoseh? Shita is Vizavachta, Vizavachta Kasher Tzivizicha. That's an essay. For Rambam, you make a bracha on Shita. Now the Rambam counts this as a mitzvah among the mitzvahs essay. Even if it doesn't mean a mitzvah in the sense of lulav and silk and shofar and tefillin, but nonetheless, a mitzvah sasei. So maybe one could argue that in that sense, one could envision in a mitzvah v'yose. Mashenke, when it comes to this sira of Giranasha, no doubt this is a chiddush, because as we alluded to very quickly, that shchit is not a typical classic mitzvah sasei. In fact, Tosfos and Shuas writes in the Chavtal and Manalev, that the Zavachta is an Isser Esei, not the Kiyum Esei. An Isser Esei, meaning, that if you eat something that is not Shochut, in addition to violating the Lav of Nevela, you're going to violate the Esei of. This is what we're going to have to discuss. Beit Zahayim and Aleph, no? Cases of being Meshachar and Eved, or the Esei to Hashlama that you started learning, no? Pesach Medaf Nun Tes. What exactly is the Kiyum essay? What exactly is the Isser essay? Well, but Tosfos writes, maybe the Zavachta simply is an Isser essay. The context of Tosfos is something which is very, very fascinating, no? Tosfos writes the following. The Gemara says, let's say a person, Achal Nevela B'Yom HaKippur. Achal Nevela B'Yom HaKippur. You know what? All year Nevela is us. Yom Kippur comes, not only are Machalos Asuros forbidden, even Brahma Mutarim are forbidden as well. No? You know what that's called? That's called an Isser Kola. Where Isser B is broader than Isser A. And if Isser B is broader than Isser A, you know what? That I don't necessarily assume the principle of Ein Isser Chalis. After all, Ein Isser Chalis usually means the second Isser isn't adding anything at all. What do you mean it's not adding anything at all? If the second Isser, Isser B, is Kola, the Brahma Mutarim, so a person will dare eat nevela on Yom Kippur. So the sheet of Chachamim is, you know what? He violates an Isser of nevela, and he's chayim kares for eating on Yom Kippur. He'll tell me, what do you mean that nevela was already aser and ain't aser chal iser? Ooh, that's a machlokas tonight. Reb Shimon, for example, denies kolo. Well, there are certain exceptions to ain't aser chal iser. But Reb Shimon Shita is Kolel is not one of them. Just because the second Isser is broader does not mean that Isser B is Chal on what was already Usser through Isser A. And therefore Reb Shimon Shita, studying Chiddush, now Ha'olchal Nevela B'Yom HaKippur in Patri. Wow. You violate Nevela, you don't violate Yom Kippur. Rashi writes the following. Now, what exactly is the case? The way I describe it is that if you have a piece of Nevela, and all of a sudden, now Yom Kippur begins. Oh, it's already Yasser B'Tovas Nevela. So can this Yom Kippur be Chal on Nevela? Rashi writes the following. No. Even if Meis V'Yom HaKippurim. Even if Meis V'Yom HaKippurim. Wow. That animal was alive when Yom Kippur began. And now the animal dropped dead. Even in such a case. Wow. That Reb Shimon would hold, Ochon Avela B'Yom HaKippurim is what? You know what's difficult about that? But Meis B'Yom HaKippurim. Meis B'Yom HaKippurim. Reb Shimon doesn't agree with Kolo, right? But Reb Shimon certainly agrees with something else. You know what that's called? Basachas. If two Yisurim are chal simultaneously, then what, only one is chal? And the second one is not chal? You can disagree about golel, because if a chetzah was already nasar, who says iser be can superimpose? But if you have yisurim that are chal bevasachas, bevasachas, Rav Shimon is going to say no, what does no mean? What does no mean? So in this, for example, this case, an animal dropped dead in Yom Kippur. No, the animal felt, ooh, the animal dies in Yom Kippur. No, what do you mean? The is Yom Kippur, the ish neveder chal bevasachas. When is this Yom Kippur chal? When is this neveder chal? No, they're chal on this piece of meat. Even then you would say that would be the case. Yom Kippur is not chal. Well, why would you say that's not true? In a case of mace, the Yom HaKippurim. Mace, Yom HaKippurim. Why would that be? So you know what Tosfos is mechadesh, according to Rashi Shita? There is something that prevents this Yom Kippur from being chal. Nevela. No, this nevela is only when it drops dead. Oh, but the Torah says, v'zalachta. You need shchita. Tosus writes, v'zalachta is an iser esay. An iser esay. You're not allowed to eat this animal without shchita. The iser of v'zalachta is chal, even mechaim. When the animal is alive, this animal is osur b'achila because it lacks after shchita. So guess what? Even if animal drops dead on Yom Kippur, there was a prior Isser that's going to prevent Achilas Yom Kippur from being chal. And that's the Isser of Izavachta. And that's why Rav Shimon's Shita is that, you know what? You have an Isser of Izavachta, and the only way Yom Kippur can be chal is Al Yidei Kolel, and Rav Shimon denies, Kolel Sal Zafra Meinisaf Al Isser. Wow, that's the Chiddush of Tosfos, that it's not just a mitzvah to say, but there's an Isser. If there's an Isra of Eina Zavuach, the Isra of Eina Zavuach does not only begin when the animal dies. That already began earlier, and therefore that prevents this Yom Kippur from being chal. And therefore, well, that's interesting Chiddush. In such a case, okay, so this is a Chiddush to say that that was from a kind of mitzvah shchita, given the fact that, Tosfos writes it's an Isra. The last thing we pointed out that's relevant for today, now, is another possibility. Maybe when it comes to other mitzvahs, one could envision mitzvahliyosa and ain't a mitzvahliyosa. And maybe that can be clear when it comes to both an essay and a los essay, against the morale. After all, against the morale. No? But Tariyag mitzvah shamarti means not only mitzvah essay, it means los essay as well. You know, saying Lavan Garti, Tarek Mitzvah Shamarti, means that even Yisurim as well, even Yisurim is a form of Inamatsiliyosa, but not Giranasha, not Giranasha. Why would we say Giranasha is different? Why would we say indeed that's true? So here, when you look in the Rambam, so this is new. Now, the following Chiddush, two halachos back to back in the Rambam that are just like incredible, and you have to say, why is that true? The use of the Rambam's in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, in Perches Halacha Hei, and Perches Halacha Vav. The Rambam writes the following. Let's say you have a behemoth tahor, and you eat the Giranasha. That's the Isra, Parshas V'Yishlach of Giranasha. You can't eat the Giranasha of a behemoth tahor. Let's assume, for example, it's not a behemoth tahor, it's a behemoth tamei. It's a behemoth tamei. A behemoth tamei that otherwise you can't partake of the entire animal. Oh, so the Rambam paskins like the Shita Sechachamim that the Isra of Giranasha is not chal, a behemoth tamei. An animal that otherwise you're able to eat, you can't partake of the Giranasha. An animal that you cannot eat, a behemoth tamei, there is no Isra of Giranasha. So on a behemoth tamei, there's no Isra of Giranasha. Okay, good. That's the psak of the Rambam. So the Rambam, Perches Halacha Hei, Ha'ochel Gid Hanasha Shol Behema B'chaya Tameim. You go ahead and eat the Gid Hanasha Behema Tameim. How many times are you chayim? How many times are you chayim? Zero, one, two? That there are two potential Yisurim. One is Gid Hanasha, one is Behema Tameim. You went ahead and you ate the Gid Hanasha Behema Tameim. How many Yisurim do you violate? How many Yisurim do you violate? You ready for this? You know what the Rambam writes? Zero. Zero. Wow. There's no Yisur of Gerin Asha. Why is there Yisur of Gerin Asha? No good, because the Rambam passes like Chachamim, the Mishnah Kufim obeys, that Yisur of Gerin Asha only applies to Behemah Torah. So there's no Yisur of Gerin Asha. Okay, good, good, good. Wait, but why aren't you chayev for eating a behemah tameya? No, you ate the Gerin Asha of a behemah tameya. So why does the Rambam say zero? You're not chayev for Gerin Asha because there's no Gerin Asha of behemah tameya. Why aren't you chayev for eating a behemah tameya? So you know what the Rambam writes? Very, very simply. Because, what do you mean? You're not eating from the bisar behemah tameya. You're eating from the gid, no? A Gerin Asha. A nerve, a sciatic nerve. You know what the Rambam writes? Ein ha-gidin b'chlal basar. Ein ha-gidin b'chlal basar. That which you ate, it's not even raya la'achila. It's not even raya la'achila. So if you go ahead and you eat the Gerin Asha of a behemah tmeya, you're not chayev at all. You're not chayev for Gerin Asha because this Gerin Asha applies in the Torah. You're not chayev behemah tmeya because you just ate a gid. Eating a gid is like eating a piece of bark. No? That's the phrase of the Gemara in the next daf, Tzadi Beis. Eitzu. Again, an asha is like eating bark of a tree. No, you're not chayiv. You're not chayiv. Wow. So the Rambam writes, eat the Gerin Asha of Behema Tameya, zero, zero, zero. Wow, wow. Okay. In a Gine B'chal Basar, in B'gine Meno Sein Tam, it's not royal achi, not chayiv whatsoever. Okay. Next Rambam. Perachez Halachavah. You know what the Rambam writes? You ate the Gerin Asha from a Behemah Tahorah. Ooh, now we're talking. No, that's Parshas Vishla. No. You ate the Gerin Asha from a Behemah Tahorah. Guess what? You ate the Gerin Asha from a Behemah Tahorah that just dropped dead. It just dropped dead. You ate the Gerin Asha from a Behemah Tahorah that's a Nevela. You ate the Gerin Asha from an animal that's a Trefa. It's a treifa. A behemah tahorah, but it's an avela. It's a treifa. Ooh, how many times are you chayiv now? The Rambam writes a study in Chiddush now. Chayiv shtayim. You're chayiv twice. The leap, you know, from zero to two. Zero to two. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting, no? Gerin Asha behemah tameya is zero. Gerin Asha of nevela or treifa, two. You're chayiv for Gerin Asha. You're chayiv for nevela. You're chayiv for Gerin Asha. You're chayiv for eating a treifa. What happened to the principle that, what do you mean, ein b'gidim b'chal basar? Ein b'gidim b'nosin tam? That eitzu? What happened to all that? What happened to all that? The Rambam jumps. Now you go from a zero to a two. How is zero to a two? No? So the answer is not so complicated, no? You take a look at the Shara Melech and that Rambam, or Sameach and that Rambam, maybe the answer is as follows. The answer is as follows. You know what? The starting point, of course, is Perches Halachai. You have something like Gerin Asha. It's not Raya L'Achila. Eitzu, Eitzu. Ein B'Gidim B'Chal Basa. Ein B'Gidim B'Nos Sein Tam. There's no Chiyuv whatsoever. Zero, zero, zero. Okay. But I'll ask you the following question. You eat the Gerin Asha from a behemah tahorah. You know, so I tell a guy, what do you mean? You're chayiv, malchus, no? That's a lav daraisa. He'll tell me, what do you mean it's a lav daraisa? Gidin are not rei l'achila. Gidin not right. You know what the answer is? Typically, you're right. Ein b'gidin makhanel semen, eitzu, but rachmana asrasa. Yeah, but the Torah says there's an issur. The Torah says there's an issur. The Torah forbids Gerin Asha of a behemah Torah, despite the fact that one would have said, Ein ha-ginim b'chal basar. Ein ha-ginim b'chal basar. The whole chiddush of the issur of Gerin Asha is not just something that it's asur, but it's something that typically is not raya l'achila. The issur of Gerin Asha is, you know what? This the Torah considers to be raya l'achila. If there's an issur of Gerin Asha, guess what? That rachmana ach shevei l'achila. The Torah considers it to be achila. The Torah considers this gid to be that which is roi l'achila. Oh, so that's the Kiddush, the Rambam Shita. Once you argue that's true, if it's a Behema Tahora, that year, Rachmana Asrasa, guess what? Midi the Havi Achilahai, Havi Achilahai. So you're going to be Chayim for the Isser Nevela, and you're going to be Chayim for the Isser Treif as well. What are you going to argue? This is not Rayel Achila. No. If you're Chayim for Gan Ashit means Rachmana Asrasa. The Gemara Bechora says a phrase, Isuro Chishuvo. The fact that the Torah says something is Nesar, you know what? That elevates it to something that is a davar chashuv, that there's a capacity to violate the Isra. So once there's an Isra of Gilan Asha, you know what? That means that Rachmana Achshave Lachilasa. And Midi Dehavi Achilahai, Havi Achilahai. That's exactly the Chiddush of the Rambam. So if you're eating the Ganesha from Heba Tamei, if there's no Isra of Gilan Asha, we're back to step one. Step one is that ain't beginning of Chabasa. That's the Ram Perches Alachay. But if you're eating the Ganesha of Behema Tahora and Rachmana Achshavei La'Achila, if it's considered to be Midi Da'Achila for Giranasha, it's considered to be Rai La'Achila for the Isur of Nevela or for the Isur of Treifa. And that's why the Rambam jumps. The Rambam jumps that, wow, you're Chayim for both. You're Chayim for both. Wow, that's a pretty great, great Kiddush. No? That's not a steer in the Rambam. That's exactly the lumdus of the Rambam sheet. That's exactly the lumdus of the Rambam sheet. That step A, that Rachmana Achshav Chilasa, and step B, Midi Dehavi Achilahai, Havi Achilahai. Wow, wow. I'll just point out another step. The Gemara does have, however, in Chulin Daf Pei Tes the following. Let's assume a person goes ahead and eats the Giran Asha from Hektish. There the Gemara says he's chayiv once. He's chayiv for Giran Asha, but not chayiv for Hektish. Whoa. Maybe that doesn't seem to fit so well with the Rambam, no? The Rambam says, once you argue it's Royal Achila, you know, that's meaningful for Shari Surim as well. And yet the Gemara says, if you eat the Giran Asha of Mukadashim, you're only chayiv once for Giran Asha, but not for Mukadashim. I'll tell you another problem. No? Take a look at that Rambam. Perches Lachavav. There's sometimes when you go ahead and you eat the Giran Asha, you can be chayiv twice. Giran Asha of Nevela, right? Giran Asha of Treifa, good. The Rambam gives you a third case. You eat the Giran Asha of a Karban Ola. You're chayiv twice. So, that also is surprising. The Gemara says, Giran Asha Mukdashim is only chayiv once. And the Rambam writes one against that. Giran Asha of Karban Ola is chayiv twice. Or I'll ask you a very, very simple question. Why does the Rambam say, Perches Lachavav, Giran Asha of a Karban Ola? Karban Ola. That's a nice example, but it should be a much broader case. A Giran Asha of Mukdashim. No? Eat the Giran Asha of Hektish. The Rambam says, eat the Giran Asha of Karban Ola. Wait, first, isn't it against the Gemara? The Gemara says, Giran Asha of Mukdashim and Michayev once. And the Rambam writes, Giran Asha of all your Chayev twice. I guess you know the answer is according to the Rambam. There's something unusual about a Karban Ola. There's something unusual about a Karban Ola. That the Rambam writes, in a Karban Ola your Chayev twice. And that wouldn't be true of Mukdashim. I know the Gemara says Mukdashim only Chayev once. If you eat the Giran Asha of Mukdashim. That's not true when it comes to Karban Ola. Why in the world? So just modify the Chiddush slightly. Ready? The starting point is that you should not be Chayiv, because the Giran Asha is not Rayel Achila. Admittedly, step two, if the Torah says you're going to be Chayiv for Giran Asha, Midi Dehavi Achila Hai, Havi Achila Hai. So if it's a Behema Tahora that you're Chayiv for Giran Asha, you're going to be chayiv for Nevela. You're going to be chayiv for Treifa. Good? Well, that's okay. One qualifier. When do you say, Midi Dehavi Achilahai, Havi Achilahai? Once we consider it to be Achila for this, it's considered to be Achila for that. When do you say that that's true? When do you say that that's true? So I'll add one qualifier. You ready? It's only true if you're dealing with two Isurei Achila. If you have two Isurei Achila, in Isurei Achilas Giranasha, and in Isurei Achilas Neveu, in Isurei Giranasha, in Isurei Achilas Treifa, then I say Achila Achila. Mi Yidav Achila Hai Hava Achila Kha. If the second Isur is not in Isur Achila, then you don't say, Midnav Achila Hai Hava Achila Kha. That will tell you is the qualifier. So your son, okay. So you know, yeah, that's exactly. Mukdashim, a person is mol from Hektish. Mol from Hektish. Of course it's us. But I wouldn't call that an Isra Achila. An Isra Achila. You have something that has a Kedusha Saguf. You cannot abuse the Kedusha Saguf. You know, you can't eat it. You can't give it to your animal. You can't destroy it. There's an Isra. We discussed, even when it comes to Truma. Maybe aside from an Isra of improper Achilas Truma, there's an Isra to be Ma'abid Truma. No? Mishmer Truma Osai. When it comes to something that really has a Kedusha Saguf, of course you can't go ahead and abuse its Kedusha. Okay? That's true of Isra of Me'ila. Maybe it's like a form of Gezel. You're taking that which is hektish and you're using it in it's a misappropriation. Me'ila, a misappropriation. A person goes in and eats a carbonola. What is the person guilty of? A misappropriation? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. But you know what? When you look in the Rambam writes, if you eat the carbonola, there's a separate iser. It's not just an ola is an example of something that's hektish, and you misappropriated the hektish. It should have been offered on the mizbeach, and therefore it was an act of gezel by consuming it another way. The Rambam writes that there's a separate lav daraisa of achilas carbon ola. Wow. The Rambam in Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, in the very beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, the Rambam writes that's part of lusucha lechol bisharecha. There's an isra achila of a carbon ola. Or the Torah tells us in Vayikra Vav, kolo siya lo se'achel, lo se'achel. This is holy to be offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're not allowed to partake. You're not allowed to eat from. What's unique about Ola is that a person who goes ahead and consumes a carbon Ola, that's what the Lech Mishnah points out there in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Maisa Karbanos. In addition to violating the typical Me'ila, there's a separate Isra Achila of a Karban Ola. In other words, Mukdashim is not an Isra Achila, but Ola is an Isra Achila. Oh, so those are the three Chiddushim. Now, the starting point of Giranasha is that this should not be an Isra whatsoever. Eitzu. You know what the Chiddush is? Rachmanas Rasa. The Torah says that it's Asa. Chiddush number two. Midav Achila Hai. Havi Achila Hai. That's Chesvav and Maisak. And Machalos Asuros, that you're not only to be chay for Giranasha, you're going to be chay for Nevela and Treifa. Kiddush number three, Bamed Vramamurim, Bamed Vramamurim. When you're dealing with two Isurei Achila, that's not true when it comes to typical Mukdashim, where it's Nisr Meila. It is true when it comes to a Karbanola. Wow. And therefore, in that case, the Rambam writes that you're chay twice. It's a pretty heavy chiddush. The chiddush, the takeaway, is that without step one, you know what? You couldn't have an Isra of Giranasha. The Isra of Giranasha is a chiddush dovra, yotzei min haklal. The Isra of Giranasha renders the Giranasha ra'i l'achila. And if there is no Isra of Giranasha, it's not Raya L'Achila. If the Isra of Giranasha is what renders it Raya L'Achila, Rachman Asrasa, then you can't have the Isra of Giranasha as Eino Mitzvah Yose. Without the Tzivui, it's not Raya L'Achila. And Eitzu, you can't finish the sentence, Eitzu Rachman Asrasa. And maybe that's exactly then the Yisrael. That's Sukhin Kun Yachzani Aleph, that There is no inum tzuyos when it comes to Gerer Rasha. And therefore, if the instruction to Yosef, Achay Yosef, was Ba'achayim, to Gerer Rasha, that's a Raimu Chachas. That Dira Benoach, Benoach is Mitzvah. Wow. That's big and important number. Okay, that's part of the halachas of Gerer Rasha. Now, the machshava, is the confrontation. The confrontation of Yaakov and Esau. The Torah tells us that Yaakov and Esau is enveloped with fear. The Yer Yaakov mod the Yitzel. And the special tefillah, Hatzileni nam yad achim yad Esau, Mamabezu beis. Here I will tell you to take a look. The Beis Halevi, this is one of the most known Beis Halevis, here in Vayishlach, where the Beis Halevi is bothered that what was the fear of Yaakovina in his confrontation with Esav HaRasha? And why the repetition? Now, the year of Yaakov Va'od, the Yitzim. Hatzilei Naviyat Achi, Miyar Esav. Why the repetition? That's when the Beis Halevi writes that this is true of Yaakovino, but this is exactly the Maisavo Simon Levan. We have a twofold basis to be afraid of a confrontation with Esav. One is very simply, Esav Achicha Misrachim Achalergach, that Esav was pursuing Yaakovino in order to annihilate him, in order to physically destroy him. And on one level, that's a fear. A person is coming to physically attack. That no doubt was a concern. There was another concern. You know, and that is that often the Umos Olam can have a plan B, not a plan A. And the plan B, right, it is not to see to it that physically we're destroyed, but rather ruin the plane of Ruchnias, a spiritual attrition. Not physical persecution, but rather attrition, assimilation. When Esav will come forward, and Esav will say, Nisa v'nilecha ve'elchon v'edecha, let's walk together. That's surprising, because on its face, that may look like a gesture of friendship. But you know what Rashi says? No, that after all, halacha, yadua, Esav sonei Yaakov. What exactly does that mean? That's the Beis Halevi, that part of sin is Yisrael can manifest itself in two different ways. Sometimes it's physical persecution, and sometimes it's spiritual attrition. And those were the fears of Yaakov. And that was Vayir Yaakov Ma'od, the Yetzer. And that parallels Hatzileni Nam Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. Esav is the one who is the known enemy of Yaakov, who is coming physically to attack. But how do you deal with Esav that literally is preaching brotherhood? No? Nisa v'nilecha ve'elcha nidecha, walking together as one. Right? Esav quotes the Medrash. Shishtatef imo b'shtei olamos. We have a shared destiny. We can share in olam haba and in olam hazeh. Now, a shared mission, a shared destiny. That's when Esav Rasha comes, Hatzileni Namiyad, Achi. Esav comes, right, as a brother. And the Beis Halevi writes that fear is a much more significant fear than the one of physical persecution. Because when you're physically attacked, it's recognizable, and naturally you defend yourself. When it comes to the other plan, when one preaches friendship and brotherhood, your guard is down, and you become that much more vulnerable. And that was the fear of Yaakovina. In fact, in terms of the kedima of the tefillah, Beis Halevi writes, Hatzileina miyad achi, miyad Esav, the first tefillah was achi. And the second concern that paled compared to the first was miyad Esav. And that was v'yir Yaakov ma'od, the first part, and that was Achi and Beitzerlo, the parallel that you find in the Pasuk itself. The Beis Halevi writes that, you know, when you think about Shibud Mitzrayim, Vayavidu Mitzrayim Es B'nei Yisrael B'chorech, That means physical persecution, after all, avodas perach. But the Beis Halevi quotes the drush of Chazal that, you know what, perach is also the perach, perach, not with the sweet tongue, with the sweet tongue. A person has to recognize persecution, not only when it's overt, but when it's covert as well, when it's hidden. And that really was the fear of Yaakovinu. And that's why Yaakovinu, no doubt, that when Esav said, let's walk together, Yaakovinu absolutely, absolutely refused. That really was knowing when it's necessary to set up Hagdaros. We had mentioned last week that when Chazal give examples of the Avos Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kulo to include even Dinim Drabanan, the example of Avraham Avinu is Erev Tavshilin, Yom HaChafches, Erev Tavshilin, the chesed, hachnasas arachim of Avraham Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu, kavat tchumim, v'yishlach, v'yichen es p'nei ha'ir. Now, Yaakov Avinu set up boundaries, the bris, the shibud Mitzrayim, but setting up residence in Goshen. Now, to make sure that there are distinctions, there are chokos, that the preservation of the shiftekar required that indeed that had to be done. But not the base of labor rights is no the exquisite balance. A person has to be on guard from physical persecution, but a person has to set up hagdaros in terms of the impact of the umos olam, the Torah's hagdolos, the Torah's hagdolos that one has to be so concerned about. And that was the lesson, or the legacy of Yaakovinu. When you look in a couple places in Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash writes, you take a look in Ayin Ches Tesvav, the Medrash writes, that Rabbeinu Kahavisolet B'Machusa, when Rabbi Yudha Nasi would have any type of meeting, any confrontation, but any meeting together with the Roman government, the Medrash writes, Havim Istakel Boda Parshasa. No? You know what? He would learn Parshas Vayishlach. That's the Medrash writes in Ayin Ches Tesvav. When he was summoned to the Malchus of Rome, so the Hachana was to learn the Parshas Vayishlach. Now, all the precautions that the Yaakovinu took, it's pretty significant. The Medrash Rabbah writes earlier, now take a look in Ayin Hey Hey. The Gemara says that Rabbeinu Amar the Rabbi Ephes. Rabbeinu is Rabbi Ranasi. Rabbi Ranasi said to Rabbi Ephes, Rabbi Ephes was the Sofer, You know what? I want you to write in Igeris a letter to Antoninus, to the Roman king. Write a letter. So the sofer started writing the letter. And the letter said the following. But you know what? That Min Yehuda Nasiya Lamar Malka Antoninus. This is a letter from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, right, to the Roman king. The Gemara says that Nasva Vakari Vakari. Rebbe took the letter, he saw it, and he ripped it up. He said, no, let me dictate it to you. No, don't say that this is a letter from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Say, this is Min Avdecha Yehuda. No? That's the Medrash says, no? That he dictated to the sofer, begin the letter. No? Min Avdecha Yehuda, from your Eved Yehuda, Lemaron Malchus Antoninus. Wow. So Rabbi Ephes, the sofer, said the following, let me neimata mevazal kodcha. Why are you degrading yourself? You're referring to yourself as the Eved Yehuda, and not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. No, so Rabbi Nasi responded and said the following, that Ma'ana Tav Min Savi, but you think I'm better than the Zayde? I'm better than Yaakovinu. Didn't Yaakovinu say that Avdecha Yaakov? And therefore, Ludoros, Rabbi felt that when you approach like the government of Rome, given that structure, you have to do so with that type of reverence, with that type of kveda. Avdecha Yaakov, and Rabbi said Avdecha Yehuda. Like that's, so the Ramban writes here, the very big Parshas Vayishlach. This is one of the Parshias, the Ramban writes, about myself of Simlaboni. No, the Ramban writes, V'yesh b'ze od remez l'doros. Whatever happens to Yaakov, and Esav, that will happen with the Bnei Yaakov and the Bnei Esav, and Rayulon Alechas B'Darko Shel Tzadik. That's the Lashon of the Ramban, no? And how to deal with the confrontation? You have to bear these lessons of Yaakov Avinu. And that's what the Rabban writes. There was tefillah, there was daram, there was readiness for milchama. Right? You have to make sure that that's true in all aspects, to make sure indeed that that's true. That was considered to be part of the mindset, the Torah of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu led a life of galus, and therefore part of his experience in his mago was, how is it that one navigates? Yeah? When you look in Parshas Vayeshev, in Perek Lamedan, so Yosef, of course, is referred to as the Ben Zakunim, the Ben Zakunim. What exactly does that mean? How do you translate Zakin? Now, most often Targum translates Zakin as Siv or Saba. It means an elder. Here, no, that was not true, right? Ben Zakunim, Targum writes as Bar Chokim. No, Yosef was the Chacham. In what sense was that true? That was the relationship of Yaakov and Yosef? That Yosef was the Bar Chokim? Oh, so Rashi continues. Now, the Koma Shaloma Mishem Ve'ever Masova. No, that's the Rashi, no? In Lamed Zayin Gimel. No? Oh, Yosef HaTzadik was the Bar Chokim. Why? Because Koma Shaloma Mishem Ve'ever Masova. So whatever he learned in yeshiva, he transmitted to his son Yosef. A little unusual, but everything that he knew, he transmitted to Yosef. And all that he knew was from the yeshiva of Shem Be'Eber. That was really true. That Yaakov Avinu's like wealth and learning was from the yeshiva of Shem Be'Eber. You know, it's not bad having a father Yitzhak and a Zevi Avram. No, like, but that was their Mesorah. Oh, this is a known piece of Yaakov Kamenetsky, MSB Yaakov, there in Parsha Shreishev. There was something unusual about the Torah of Shem Be'Eber. No? You know what that was? The Torah of Shem Be'Eber, that was the Torah Sagolos. The Torah Sagolos. Meaning what? That Shem and Eiver lived in hostile times where everyone around them were Rishayim, and Shem and Eiver, they were able to develop the tools to be able to exist and to persevere and to succeed and to thrive even in the climate of Golos. So you know what? That was a vital stop before Yaakov Avinu went to the Beis Lavan. Of course, he had learned the Torah of Avraham Avinu Yitzchak. That certainly was true. The unique contribution of the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eber was the Torah Sagolos. And therefore, the timing was critical. Now that he's about to enter into the Beis Lavan, it's necessary to spend those years in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eber. And all of a sudden now, that Yaakov would have felt it was necessary to transmit that to Yosef HaTzadik. Because again, that was the Hashkoch as well. That Yosef HaTzadik was going to be the one who left and went to Mitzrayim. And again, that would be the Torah Sagolos. Who more personified the Torah Sagolos than Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik? And therefore, that's exactly why that Koma Shalama Nishem Ve'Iver Masavo, that was considered to be that type of form of the Torah Sagolos. And the Ramban writes the following, Ramban, Oran, Oradak, that is the confrontation in the very beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, the plight of Knesset Yisrael in Golos. And Vayavek Ishimo, it's going to be a struggle. No? And the Ramban writes the following, that Ma'ora Kulu Remez L'Darosa, the whole depiction of what happens at the beginning of the Parsha, right, the confrontation, the battle between Yaakov, you know, and Sar Shal Esav, the Ramban writes, that's our Mesorah. All of that is a remez L'Daros. That throughout the years to come, that there'll be moments of confrontation with the Umos HaOlam, and you have to know how to be able to navigate. You have to know how to be able to persevere. That's what the Ramban writes. If you look, for example, there's a pirush in the Torah of the Talmud Haran. There the Ramban writes at length, the depictions of the struggle of Yaakov Yishima together with the Mesorah Klal Yisrael Adoros. And in the process of doing so, Yaakov Avinu was injured. That's something which is a similar to Zaro as well. That, you know, it's not going to be an easy survival in Golis. There are going to be setbacks. You're going to be injured on the way. And therefore, Batalka Kapirat Yaakov is a simna banim in terms of our confrontation with the Doros. The Radak even writes, fascinating Kiddush, why was it the Chafir at Yaakov? Because immediately afterwards, that's when Dina was taken captive, and Dina was Yotze Yerech Yaakov. Well, that the Radak already writes on the Pasuk. That all of a sudden now, the fact that Yaakov was injured there, it meant that, you know what? That one who came, Yotze Yerecho, Hupito, is going to, in this world of Golos, experience, right, an unusual abuse, an unusual attack. And all of that is part of the confrontation in Golos itself. And take a look at the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Gimel, the Sefer HaChinuch like writes this like very, very poetically, that you should realize that this entire parsha, right, this Ma'aseh Osim Labanim, and is considered to be a remez to Yisrael, that after peace, Yisrael tzaros rabos legalos, even though that, yes, we're going to experience setbacks and galos, but look what happened when it comes to Yaakov. Was there a setback? Of course, that certainly was true, but the Zarach Alav HaShemesh, the Zarach Alav HaShemesh, Yaakov Inu healed, and Yaakov Inu was strengthened, no? And even though he was injured, but you know what? And just like that, Yaakov is temporarily injured. Yeah, but he recuperated. And v'noshan in hatzar. So, kein nizrach lanu Hashemesh shel Mashiach. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Gimel. That is the destiny of Knesset Yisrael. There'll be moments of setback, as we're in Yaakov, you know, but ultimately, right, you're going to emerge. Something which is striking in terms of that Ma'aseh Osim Labanim. How to prepare yourself to recognize there'll be setback, but ultimately, that will emerge victorious. That's the Haftarah. No, a parshas v'yishlach. That this is a temporary condition, but ultimately to be able to emerge. That there's an incredible Zohar. You can take a look. It's in parshas v'yishlach. Right, and the classic Zohar, it's an Amud Kufayin, where the Zohar writes like an unusual correspondence. Now, the Zohar writes the following, that you know what? In the human body, there are 365 Gidin, like Gidin Hashem. Right? And in the Torah Hashem, there are 365 Isurim, and in a solar year, there are 365 days. That's what the Zohar writes. This is not like a random number. Somehow there's a correspondence between the essence of a person and the Isurei Torah and the days of the year. And the Zohar even goes as far as to argue that, you know what? The correspondence between the Isurei Torah and the Yemei Hashanah, there's a one-to-one correspondence. That every day has its mitzvah. Every day has its iser. Now, well, it's true, we're not talking about a lunar year, a solar year, but a solar year is 365 days, and therefore the Zohar writes, it's not coincidental that there are 365 Yisurei Torah, because somehow there's a correspondence. You know, this is the mitzvah of the day, this is the avoda of the day. You know, it's like Yisrael Salanti, you know, there are all the Kinani Torah, and there are all the days of Sphira, and there's like a correspondence between like each one as a proper hachana for Kabbalah Satorah. That's like a stunning comment that the Zohar has on Parshas V'yishlach, that there's a correspondence between the Yisurei Torah and the days of the year. So, you know, it's not so easy to figure out, you know, to make that chart, you know, what's today's Isser? What's tomorrow's Isser? What's yesterday? Not so clear, but the Zohar gives you one example. There's one example. No, that's Zohar V'yishlach. The Zohar writes, by illustration, I'll tell you the following, that There's a day of the year of Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av corresponds to this of Gidonash. That's the Zohar. Now, Tisha B'Av and Gidonash should go hand in hand. Well, that's the Zohar's Kiddush. Now, that you know what? There's a Gidonash, a sciatic nerve in the person, and that corresponds to an Issa, that's clear, the Issa of Gidonash, and that corresponds to Tisha B'Av. Now, so, yeah, that's exactly the lesson of, no? That Gidonasha, what the Ramban, the Ram, the Radak, the Sefer HaChinuch, right? That Gidonasha means that, you know, a person's an experienced Golos, and there are going to be challenges, there are going to be setbacks, a person's going to have to know how to position themselves in Golos, and you know what? A person has to recognize his Golos. Oh, part of that Medrash, you have to act sometimes in a deferential way, knowing that it's Golos, Maybe it's not always the right answer for Klal Yisrael to be overly assertive in Golos. That requires an important Shikul Hadas. What really is the most appropriate balance? But you know, there are going to be times of setback, that's true. But the essence of Gidonash is that's a temporary condition. That's a temporary condition. Just like the injury of Yaakov Avinu was a temporary setback. But Vizara Chalav HaShemesh. And what's true of Yaakov Avinu is true of the Zera of Yaakov Avinu, and therefore, the language that the Sefer HaChinuch uses that recognize that Zarcha Lan HaShemesh L'Rafoso and Kein Yizrach HaShemesh HaMashiach. That's exactly, of course, our mindset of Tisha B'Av. We recognize the setback of Churban HaBayis, but we realize that Churban is only a temporary condition. Kara Alay Moed, that what for us now is a day of Avelus is going to be transformed into a day of Yantiv. Now, Shafa Charnako, that's its eighth Yehuda, the silver lining of Tisha B'Av, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, let out his wrath against the eight Sim and Avanim Shabbaecho, and we tokach, Isha Plato the Yisrael, our survival is understanding that Churban HaBayis is a necessary but a temporary condition. And that was the legacy of Yaakov Avinu. Not surprising that the Zohar writes, you have that triple correspondence. You have that which makes up a person, right? All the Shesa Gidin, and you have Shesa Isurim, and you have Shesa Yemei Shata, because of all that correspondence. Right? That's part of the Mashava of this of Gidonash. And that's something that's powerful. The notion that setback is something which, by essence, is only temporary, that ultimately that Yizrach lanu Shemesh HaMashiach, and that's how the Sefer HaChinuch is. Now, Yirafenu Mitzareinu, and that will save us from any tzar that we experience, and Vigalenu B'Neira V'Meinu Amen, that's how the Sefer HaChinuch ends, it's the Gimel of the Gidonash, now, like, you know, the tefillah for the ultimate Yes HaGon, ultimate Nechama. That's what the Ramban stresses about the Parshas V'Yishlach. And not surprising that was the hachana that Rebbe always did whenever he was summoned by the Malchus. You have to study the Ma'aseh Sim Lavanim, and then you have to have incredible wisdom in Siyata Dishmaya to know how it is to implement, right, the Ma'aseh, which is considered to be a Yetzira Bezarna. So take a look at those Ramakamas. Don't start with the Zohar. Don't start with the Ramban, the Ram, the Radak, the Chinuch. Once you finish that, so take a quick look at the Zohar. It tells you that it's a fascinating correspondence. And then when you meet Gedolei Yisrael, you can ask them, what are the other correspondences? But you still apply to other days of the year. Now that you need, like, you know, so Hashem Nireyev, to know, like, what's today's Issa? I walked into Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, and I wasn't sure what to give Shira. You know, I asked them what they're learning, all kinds of different things. No, but there was a big sign on the wall. Oh, this is the Mishnah Yomis. This is the Mishnah of the day. You know, the Yeshiva, I guess they had such a program, no? So I said, okay, this is the Mishnah of the day. So I'll give Shira on that. I give Shira on that, that Mishnah. And I went back to the Yeshiva that months later. The same sign was up, Mishnah of the day, the same Mishnah. I said, how long has that sign been there? And somebody put it up once. It's been there like for years with the Mishnah of the day. So you know, I thought that was their unique. Every day they had a theme and a new shape. Not a bad idea. But that was, that the Mishnah was Arba Midos B'Talmidim. No, that's the Rina Chmiash and the Rambam about, you know, that kochos are not just gifts, no, that things you have to earn. know, zikaron and tfisa, you know, like neither the vayim, that's what you have to strive for. You know? One should not think that some people have it and some people don't. You know? That retention and tfisa and learning is not just a natural faculty, but it's something that a person can be zochet to call that feeling. It's a pretty powerful lesson. I guess that's probably relevant for every day of the year. I should not leave that sign up for for eternity, but that's an important lesson. Now, the Rambam Pirush Mishnah is the Rina Kniyash, and the Mishnah Rabbah means the Tanya. Okay. All right, we have to work on this on Sunday, right? So,